The following lecture by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg was recorded live and is presented to you free of charge by Galina Institute. Your donation will help us to bring an ever-expanding selection of quality audio lectures by Rabbi Ginzburg. Galina Institute is a non-profit organization and all donations are tax-deductible in the USA. To donate, just click on the Donate button on the Inner Dimension homepage at www.inner.org. www.inner.org or email us at inner@inner.org.
One of the central topics in Parashat Matot Masei appears at towards the end of Parashat Masei, which are the laws dealing with manslaughter, someone that is killed or murdered unintentionally. The law in the Torah, which is a very special, unique law, is that if one kills unintentionally another Jew, so he has to run away from the relatives of that person that was killed that might take revenge against him, and run to a special city which is called an Ir Miklat, an absorption city, that so long as he is within that city, he is protected, and the relative of that of the person that was killed is not able to enter and to take revenge against him. So he has to enter the city and he has to remain there. Now, there were six such cities that Hashem instructed Moshe to make specially for this purpose of absorbing people that had committed manslaughter. Three of them are on one side of the Jordan River, three of them are on the other side. Since Moses himself did not merit to enter into the land of Israel on the west bank of the Jordan, so he only actually was able to set aside especially the first three cities that were on the east bank. But then he instructed Joshua and the Jewish people upon entering the land of Israel to set aside the three cities on the west bank of the Jordan. In another place in the Torah we're taught that in the future when Mashiach will come, there will be another three cities will be set aside for this very purpose. So this is a very unique type of law that we certainly do not find something similar to this in other legal systems, lahavdil. So there must be some very deep teaching about this law of a person that murdered unintentionally, that he is given this opportunity and this mitzvah to flee to a special place, and there, in that place, to be protected. He's only able to be released, to go home from that place, upon the death of the high priest, which is also a very amazing super rational legislation that he has to remain there until the high priest passes away. That's also related in our Torah portion. What we'll meditate upon now is the concept, the abstract concept of the absorption city, the Ir Miklat, and what it means for each and every one of us. Obviously, we don't commit manslaughter, thank God. But nonetheless, every commandment in the Torah is eternal, and it applies to every single soul, male, female, in all times, in all places, even if we're not in the land of Israel, as is one of the most fundamental teachings of the Baal Shem Tov, that all of the laws of the Torah apply always to everyone, everywhere. So the idea of killing, of murder in general, especially of manslaughter, which is unintentional killing, if it seemed to apply to each and every one of us, it means in any way that we insult, when we hurt another person, hurt his feelings by saying something bad. So obviously a person can insult or make another person feel bad by intentional Lishon Hara that he speaks, either against him, either in his presence or not in his presence. But most often, and this is something that is almost impossible to avoid, we find ourselves unintentionally hurting other people by our words without any thought that we're going to hurt them or or kill him in any way. And still, this is something that happens all the time. We have to take account for ourselves, make a cheshbon nefesh, that this may be one of the most terrible things that people do, is that they, instead of just being loving and connecting to our fellow Jew, which is the condition upon which Mashiach will come and the redemption will come, so we find ourselves always saying things that that hurt the other people. And hurting someone else is like a small act of killing someone else. So the Torah says that when a person kills unintentionally, the tikkun, the rectification for that, is running to a refuge city. So this also has to apply to each and every one of us, and to be the teaching, what is the tikkun, what is our rectification, in order to atone for having unintentionally killed, in quotation marks, someone else. Because any bad word, our sages teach us, actually kill three people: kill the speaker and the person that was spoken about and the person that was spoken to. So all lashon hara and bad words are killing. But once more, it's not always intentional. Most often, it's unintentional. So the Torah indicates that the tikkun, rectification for that, is that the Torah, especially Moshe Rabbeinu himself, and afterwards Yahushua, when the Jewish people entered the land of Israel, set aside especially a place to run to and to enter and to remain there, to live there, and to make sure that you stay there, that you don't leave that place, because upon the moment that you leave that place, you become liable to yourself be killed. So once more, we have to try to understand this spiritually. The most general explanation is that the refuge city, what is called a refuge city in Ir Miklat, represents the study of the Torah. And by running to a refuge city, we enter, and our minds and our hearts, our consciousness enters the study of the Torah, and we remain in that state of mind continuously, v'hagita po yomam v'layla, which is actually the very first mitzvah that Hashem instructed Joshua just before he was about to take the Jewish people into the land of Israel, is v'hagita po yomam v'layla. He said that you shall study the Torah day and night continuously, and don't leave it, because as soon as you leave that study and that mindset and space, so you'll become vulnerable to yourself be hurt. But so long as you remain in that, you yourself will be protected and not hurt. And when finally you will be allowed to leave it and go home, then you'll already be in such a state of tikkun, of rectification, that you will no longer ever again hurt another person, even the slightest hurting feelings of another person. Right, now, if we now try to think about this abstract concept of a refuge city, picture it in our minds, that we're going to now enter, or we're going to actually run. Run means, run is an expression of will. To run in Hebrew means to will, that we will very, very strongly to reach this refuge city, to make it to this refuge city, to remain there. There are some very, very special and beautiful allusions about this refuge city in our parasha of Matot Masei. One is that in relating this halakha, this law, so the word itself, the central word which we're now going to meditate upon, a refuge city, appears 10 times exactly. So the fact that the word is written 10 times means that there must be some relation, and there's a general principle that's around, there must be a deep relation to the essence of the number 10, just like the 10 commandments. 10 is a consummate number. 10 corresponds to all of the all of the divine emanations through which Hashem created the world, as well as all of the powers, the 10 powers of this whole, that we are responsible to correct and rectify and make shine with the divine light of our divine soul. Meaning that if the word refuge city appears here 10 times, it means that all 10 powers of the soul have to run and will to enter and be part and to integrate into our beings and our consciousness the meaning of the refuge city of the Ir Miklat. Now the way that these 10 times that the refuge city appears is also very beautifully divided into 5 and 5. First, the Torah says, in general, talks about the mitzvah of running to a refuge city if a person has committed manslaughter. And in the beginning, in the opening of this explanation of the law of the Torah, so the word appears 5 times. It appears 3 times just Ir Miklat, a refuge city, the word Miklat in Hebrew, written Mem Kuf Lamed Tet. As we'll see in a moment, the word equals 179, which is will be important for us in a moment to discuss. And twice it says Limiklat, to the refuge city. Either it says just Miklat or Limiklat. Then there's a short interruption that the Torah begins to speak about intentional murder. And what is the punishment for intentional murder? That is obviously a capital crime. And after going through the laws of what it means to murder intentionally, that as we said before, intentional murder is intentional slander or speaking bad or hurting and insulting another person, especially in public. So after going through that, then the Torah returns once more to the topic of the unintentional murder, the manslaughter, and once more the word appears 5 times, 5 additional times. The difference is that in the 5 times that it appears afterwards, after the break, in the middle, it always appears consistently in the form Niklato, his refuge. It appears with the suffix letter Vav. And so it is written 5 times, one after the other, Niklato, 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 Niklato. So the fact that the 10 appearances of the refuge city are divided into 2 groups of 5 and 5, this also reminds us of the 10 commandments, because the 10 commandments, when they were written on the 2 tablets, they were written 5 on one tablet and then 5 on another tablet. So here we have the same form or the same abstract model, which is the way that Kabbalah analyzes and meditates upon all phenomena in the Torah, that they relate to one another if we can identify or abstract the basic model behind them. So we have certainly have 5 appearances of going to a refuge city in general, that the refuge city is not referred to as your refuge city or as his refuge city. And then there's the interruption of the topic, and from the unintentional murder it talks about intentional murder, then it goes back to the unintentional murder, the manslaughter, and then the refuge city already belongs to the person. It's his refuge city. So the way that this is explained in Kabbalah is that the word refuge, which means, as we translated in the very beginning, it comes from the word niklot in Hebrew, which means absorb, really means an absorption city, like nowadays a term, a phrase, an absorption center. When a person like is going to another country, is immigrating, like you come to Israel, so you have to first enter an absorption center to become absorbed. So that's the real meaning of the refuge city. It means absorption, to become absorbed in a new context. Once more, in our meditation, becomes to become absorbed in a new mindset, a new mind space, which is a new mind space that is created by one's entering into the Torah, into the study of the Torah. But the very same word and root, which means to absorb, also means to integrate. The klot klita is integration, means taking something into yourself. To be absorbed is entering into something. You become consumed, as it were, within the context or the call it in Kabbalah, the surrounding light of the city or the place that you're in. That means that you're absorbed in a new reality. But just like it means to be absorbed, which is called Or Makif, a surrounding light around you, it means also the very opposite. It means that you absorb it into yourself. So to absorb something into yourself, not to become absorbed into something out of yourself, but to bring it into yourself, that it should penetrate and permeate yourself, that's called integration, to integrate it. That's called liklot. So the very same word has these two obviously related meanings, but there are two opposite directions. Either you're becoming absorbed, or you are absorbing into yourself, meaning integrating into yourself. Now there's a very beautiful allusion to this, that really we have to understand the word and the concept of the refuge city in this dual meaning. It's like a two-way direction, that on the roads throughout the land of Israel, in order to make it easier and clearer to this potential manslaughter, where the refuge city, where the nearest refuge city was, and to point to it. So there are signs, just like nowadays we have signs, road signs. So in times of old, and when Mashiach will come, we'll once more have the true road signs, that in addition to the road signs of all cities that you're approaching, the most important road sign is the sign that tells you the direction of where to go towards a refuge, one of the closest refuge city. Now it says in the Gemara that what was written on every sign was twice the word miklat. It said miklat, miklat, with an arrow pointing at the direction of the city. Now if we think about this for a moment, it's very very special and very different for what I would imagine, because when we have a sign like Yerushalayim, so the road sign doesn't say Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim twice, or Tel Aviv twice, or if you're in America, we're going to Cleveland, that's say Cleveland twice in a certain direction. That's not the way people do it. So there must be some very unusual reason that it says that these road signs towards the refuge cities repeated the word Miklat twice, Miklat, Miklat. So the first allusion is based upon the gematria that we quoted before, that the word miklat itself equals 179. And when you write miklat twice, it's 2 times 179. 179 is a prime number. It doesn't divide by any other number. When it's doubled, so twice 179 is 358. 358, we should all know, recognize that number, that's the number that equals Mashiach, the Messiah. Meaning that there's something, all of a sudden we have like a surprise revelation, that this whole topic of the refuge city and the fact that it's a double state of being, so this is a messianic image, that miklat miklat equals Mashiach. Now what does it mean? It means that first, when a person begins to study the Torah, especially to study a new dimension of the Torah, like the new revelation of the Torah of Mashiach, which is the depth, the innermost soul of the Kabbalah and Hasidut that we've been given, especially in the later generations, in order to make us ready for the coming and the revelation of the Mashiach. So one begins to enter into the Torah in general, into a new dimension of the Torah. So first he has to become totally absorbed in it, never wanting to leave it, enamored by it. Now, at that state, which is the first beginning state, the Torah is encompassing and surrounding his being and his consciousness altogether. And also, it's not so critically important to what extent he even understands exactly everything that he is studying. What's most important is the inner sense that this is divine light and wisdom that I have been given a gratis gift without any deserving of this infinite gift that God has given me of His Torah, and especially the new inner dimension of the Torah, the Torah of Mashiach. So that's the feeling, and that's the stronger that feeling is, the more the person becomes absorbed in this new space of the study of the Torah. But then, the person, in order that it remains an eternal part of himself, of his being, it is important that he changes at a certain point, redirects his experience, that he attempts consciously to bring in and integrate as much as he can, because actually this is the, in a certain sense, the logical result, that if a person is enamored by something, loves something very, very much, on the one hand he immediately becomes, he gets into it, and he's totally into it. But the final sign that you're really into something is that you want to have it inside yourself, not just to be in it, but that it should also be in you. And we're taught in the Sefer HaTanya, the classic text of Chassidut, that the one and only thing which is able to be at one and the same time fully around you, and you are totally absorbed in it, and at the same time that it is totally within you, inside you, is the Torah itself. That's what's unique about the infinite wisdom of the Torah. Any other wisdom which is finite, so either you don't really understand it yet at all, or you do understand it, one or the other. As soon as you understand it completely, you're no longer in it, it's just in you. But the one wisdom which is infinite, that you're always totally absorbed in it, and at the same time you are taking it into yourself more and more every day, and every time that you delve deeper and deeper into Torah, that you're integrating it into yourself. Obviously, there's also another very important thing about integration. That integration makes you change your character traits and attributes, makes you a better person, makes you act better. It's also something that only comes when you get it into yourself, not just that you're into it. Because if I'm simply into something, it doesn't mean that it's really going to change my path of life, my way of life. But if it's in me, it already changes me. That's the tafdid, that's the purpose of the Torah. So once more, the Torah has to be around you and within you. And first, you have to become absorbed into it. And then, you take it into yourself. So, one of the most important verses for this is the beginning of Psalms. It says, happy is the man that doesn't walk in the bad path and walks by the power path. And then it says, in the second verse, it says that his total desire is in the Torah of Hashem, of God. And in his Torah, he studies and contemplates continuously, yom v'layla, day and night. So first it says that his whole desire is in God's Torah. And then it says in his Torah he contemplates over it continuously. So the way that this is explained throughout by our sages and in Chassidut is that first the Torah is God's Torah, which is the infinite wisdom of the Torah. And I recognize, as we said before, that it's all a gift that I'm being given that I don't deserve in any way. And all of my desire means I'm totally enamored by it, and all of my desire is in it. That's the absorption stage. But then it says in his Torah, he contemplates and studies continuously day and night. So that's the other side. That's when he's bringing it into himself, that it becomes his Torah. It becomes called according to his name. So now we'll return to the phenomena that we see in this week's parasha, which is exactly the same thing. At first it talks five times about going to the Ir Miklat. And then it's just an Ir Miklat, it's just a refuge city. It's not referred to as his city. But then it repeats once more when it comes back to the same topic. Because in between there was the distinction when it talked about intentional murder, it made a beirur. A beirur means a distinction, a clarification between the intentional murderer and the unintentional murderer. It becomes 100% clear who is the intentional one, who is the unintentional one. And then we go back to the unintentional one, and now his refuge city becomes his refuge city. Five times miklato, 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 which means that he is bringing it into himself. So five times one is entering, and five times one is becoming absorbed in the refuge city, and then another five times one is integrating the refuge city into himself. And the five then pair, two by two, each pair of two is one manifestation of Mashiach. It says that Mashiach has five different manifestations of his soul, five levels of his soul, which are the Nefesh and the Ruach and the Neshama, the Chayin Nechida, the five names of the soul, the viable level of the soul, and the spirit, and the intellectual level of the soul, which is called Neshama, is called the living one and the single one. And these are all alluded to in Isaiah, in the verse that says five ascents, elevations of the Mashiach that will come. Hine yaskilati yarum v'nisa v'gavam, all the five different stages of his becoming higher and higher and higher until he reaches the peak, the epitome of his levels. So that would then correspond to the five pairs of the ten appearances of the word Miklat in this parasha. So, Hashem help us that we both become absorbed. First of all, we have to recognize that even though it sounds very, very severe, but each one has to make the cheshbon nefesh that certainly we've committed manslaughter at one level or another. And hopefully we haven't committed intentional murder of other people, but certainly manslaughter we've committed. And therefore, we need the atonement of the Ir Miklat, and it's double. And what the Ir Miklat is, the Torah, and especially the new Torah of the Mashiach, we have to become absorbed totally into it and bring it integrated into ourselves in order to make it change our lives.
You have been listening to a lecture by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsberg, recorded and presented to you free of charge by Galina Institute. Your donation will help us to bring an ever-expanding selection of quality audio lectures by Rabbi Ginsberg. Galina Institute is a non-profit organization, and all donations are tax-deductible in the USA. To donate, just click on the Donate button on the Inner Dimension homepage at www.inner.org. www.inner.org. In Hebrew, Galina means open my eyes. These words are from the verse in Psalms, open my eyes, that I may behold the wonders of your Torah. Under the leadership of Rabbi Ginsberg, our goal is to open the world's eyes to the light of the inner dimension of Torah, to discover God, and to connect to Him in all that we do. As we learn from the Baal Shem Tov, spreading this light will hasten the complete and true redemption. We invite you to join the Galinite team and participate with Rabbi Ginsberg in learning, teaching, and spreading the inner dimension of Torah, Kabbalah and Hasidut. Together, the Galinite team will change the world, bringing God's loving kindness, health, happiness, and true peace to all. For more information about Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsberg's teachings and how to participate with the Galinite team, visit the Inner Dimension website at www.inner.org. www.inner.org. Or email us at inner@inner.org.